Hey everyone, Stormy Renee here, and you're listening to the Nerds of Wrestling podcast.
Hey, what is going on, everyone? And welcome to today's episode of What's Up Wrestler on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. It is I, your host, Justin Del Rio, and my guest at this very time is Stormy Renee. Stormy, what is going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining the show today. We talked for a little bit. We talked for a little bit before the show started, and you seem like quite the character. That just seems so fun loving, and I'm excited to talk to you.
Me too. I'm very excited. I hope you don't mind. My cat decided she was going to join in the video with us. So
you could have 40 cats, 40 dogs. It's all good. We love animals here. This is a question that's always asked. I don't know if you listen to my podcast, but it's a podcast that I ask every single time just to break the ice. How are you doing during this crazy time we're living in? You know, COVID has been really a back burner on a lot of people, but I feel like it's gradually slowing down, but not really. You know, it has its up and downs, but we're definitely near the end stage, I feel. But then again, I feel like it's going back up again. But yeah, how have you been during this time?
I've been pretty good. I took a really long break. We didn't have much going on around us. We had a couple of places that would have tapings, but I, for the most part, wanted to stay safe because it was a time for me to just take a break and go see my family. So I really just took a break. I stayed home. I got into painting. I got into anime. And so just really chilling and enjoying just my break. And then February is when I finally got back into wrestling to like help pull me through the rest of COVID.
That's awesome. You know, family is very important. I don't know how you live in Kansas, correct?
Yes.
I don't know how COVID was. I don't know how COVID was up in Kansas, but up in Connecticut, it was not the greatest, but you know, we were doing okay. But like once this whole thing started to like really take a turn on everybody's lives, like last year when everything shut down, everything was just absolutely just madness. A lot of people were very nervous, and we didn't know what to do. Especially me, when I got laid off at work, I was like, "Great, what the hell am I gonna do?" But during that time, you said you saw your family, you took up painting, you got into anime. Yeah. What else did you do to kind of keep such a positive mindset?
I'll have to admit the first couple months, it was really hard, like really, really hard because I had lost a lot of stuff that I was supposed to start doing. There's a lot of exciting stuff lined up for my wrestling that kind of just started getting canceled. So at first it was really hard to like keep a positive outlook. But once I kind of, like I said, got back into wrestling and watching wrestling videos and just more matches, I really like started to feel better, and it kind of helped me with my drive. So I finally got my butt back into the gym. So the gym has really helped with like my emotional state, I feel, because it's very true about working out. The endorphins, it kind of helps pump through your body, has really just kind of brought my mindset back up. I'm working on some new for my wrestling. So really, wrestling has really just helped start bringing my level back up, because I've just really been putting my all now into what I want my wrestling to be.
Yeah, I love that. It seems like you had such a positive outlook after a little while. It took some time, but it seems like, you know, like you're like, okay, you're like, okay, this isn't the end of the world. I'm not the only one going through it. A lot of people are going through it. Let me do this, and let's just keep a positive mindset. Before we continue this podcast, tell the nerds where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on my Instagram at @real_StormyRenee. And then you can find me on Facebook at @StormyRenee. And then you'll have to stay tuned, because I'll eventually get myself on Twitter and then probably a TikTok and all that other fun stuff so you can keep up with my adventures.
I don't do you really need a TikTok though? I mean, I feel like
I don't feel like you do, but nah. I had another wrestler just go off with all the social medias he had, and he's like, "You need this." And I'm like, "Do you need all of that though?"
You don't need TikTok. Like, that's one thing I feel like
I agree you with don't Twitter.
Need. Twitter? Yes, you don't need Twitter. But you should have Twitter.
It helps.
You know, it helps. You know, like, I remember I asked you, hey, what's your social media? You're like, oh, I just got Instagram. I'm like, oh, no Twitter? All right. That's the first. Yeah. Oh, how come?
I'm a little behind.
How come? What's going on? You're slacking. How come you don't have Twitter?
You know, I'm still learning how to get used to this, like, social media thing that comes with being a wrestler. And I'm still, like, working on learning that the power of the people really helps get your name out there. I've just haven't ever really been, besides scrolling Facebook for memes, I haven't really been a social media person anyways, but I'm really working on it and trying to do more posts, more like social media things, and trying to get my name out there and my shenanigans out there.
Yeah, you got this. A lot of people, like a lot of older generations talk a lot of shit about social media. I mean, I'm 26. I don't know how old you are. I mean, I grew up in 90. I was born in 94. But, you know, yeah, we grew up through, like, this everything, you know, that was, like, kind of handed to us. But we also, you know, like, social media isn't just a given. You got to work on it. Like, if you're trying to get your name out there, you got to put in the work, because it's not going to do it for you. Like, you're not going to wake up with 20 million followers in one day unless you're John Cena or Randy Orton or something. Like, you want those 20 million followers, you got to bust your ass to get those 20 million followers.
You do.
So going back a little bit, you said you got into anime.
Yes.
So I hate to break the news to you and everybody who's watching or listening. I am not an anime guy. No. I don't see the hype in anime, but I don't bash anybody who watches anime. What really got you into it?
So my boyfriend and my roommate, I live with three other people, my boyfriend and his two friends, and our one roommate is also a wrestler, so there's three of us who wrestle, and them two were really into it, and like especially Dragon Ball Z, so they started talking about that a lot. And and once I kind of like showed an interest, my boyfriend showed me to Trigun, and I absolutely adored that anime. And that was kind of like the door opening for me, because like I'm a softie at heart and I love cartoons. So it's just like adult cartoons for me. And I'm 21, so I was born in 99, like the very butt end of the 90s. So I still call myself a 90s baby.
I'll let that pass. I'll let it pass.
But, so like, it's adult cartoons for me for sure. And like, that's kind of, I love it. Like, there's so much emotion into it. And I catch myself crying at a lot of these animes, and it like, they just help me feel.
That's nothing wrong with that. You know, like I said, I'll give you the 99. Nah, you're a 90s baby. My little brother, he's 21, and he was born in 2000. And I'm very passionate about old TV shows and like old shows I grew up with, especially like old video games and like old everything. Like, when I hear a new kid talk about like I work with kids, and when I hear my students talk about, I don't know, Zack and Cody, I'm like, boy, what you know about Zack and Cody? What you know about Drake and Josh, bro? What you know about King and Kel? Like, what? Like, yeah. don't be like, come on, bro. Like, but my little brother was three when Drake and Josh came out, but he watched it with my brother and I. So I'm like, okay, no, I'll let that pass. He grew up with us. We watched it, so he watched it. But like a 10-year-old saying, oh, Drake and Josh is the best. What you know about Drake and Josh, bro? Like, what? What are you talking about? That's just me.
About being a liar or a truther?
Exactly. Right, exactly. Like, they if I said that to them, they'll be like,
they wouldn't get it.
I don't get it. It's like the Keenan and Kel. It's like the orange soda joke. Who loves orange soda? They won't know that. They go, I do. No, Kel loves orange soda. We practice this. We rehearse this. Kel loves orange soda. What are you talking about? Exactly. Like, well, come on. But yeah, anime seems like it holds a very special place in your heart.
Yes, a lot of wrestlers I've learned love anime, and we went up to California, and so I have a My Hero Academia wrestling bag. Like, it's what I carry my gear in because it's got a shoe compartment so I can keep my shoes away from my nice gear. And it started so many conversations with all the wrestlers about my animes and what I liked. And I learned almost the entire locker room was just a big bunch of nerdy anime lovers, and I absolutely adored it.
It's you'll be surprised with what wrestlers like and what people like. Like you just
You
assume
would be.
you'll just assume they like, you know, action movies and hardcore stuff. Like, oh, word, you anime head too? That's lit. Like, what's good? Other than anime, you said, were you keeping up with wrestling at all during this pandemic? I know it was very hard to watch. I'll be the first to admit, I said it on my podcast and I said it before to a lot of other people. I did not keep up with any of it really just because I couldn't watch wrestling without a crowd. I know that, you
Right.
know, I know it's hard. I know that's stupid to say. I know a lot of people watched it. I know a lot of people spent every Monday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, every Thursday, whatever, watching wrestling. But I could not sit down on my couch and watch Monday Night Raw for 3 hours with no crowd. I mean, now it's kind of tolerable with the virtual fans. I watched some of it, but when there was no crowd and there was just, you know, they're like in an empty, empty Full Sail arena. It was so bad. It was so boring.
Yeah.
But were you keeping up? Were you keeping up with any of it?
I'm kind of different than most wrestlers. We don't have cable here at our house. So I don't really keep up with any of like weekly television. I kind of more so go like look at wrestlers I like to watch on YouTube, and I'll just go find their matches that way. And that's kind of how I watch my wrestling, and like either study wrestling or just find matches that I love to watch. I used to keep up with the WWE when I lived with my dad, but ever since then, I have not really kept up with weekly television. I'd love to be able to keep up with AEW. I'm more kind of that. And then I love ROH, and my boyfriend and I are eventually going to get New Japan. So that's something we'll probably end up keeping up more with than really anything you can find on cable nowadays. But yeah, the empty arena stuff has, yeah, I don't really even like watching the empty ones that they have on YouTube and stuff, because it really isn't the same without having the audience in the background. So I feel you on that one. It's weird.
It is it, and I remember when they announced like around like 2 weeks ago, around this time last year, they announced that they're going to be doing WrestleMania in an empty building. A lot of people were mad about that at the time. Now it's crazy to think where we were last year to where we are now. I'm sure you heard the news everywhere. I'm sure you heard that WWE is allowing 25,000 fans at WrestleMania at the stadium, which may seem like a lot of people to a lot of people, but for someone who doesn't watch WrestleMania every year, for someone who doesn't watch wrestling, 25,000 is nothing compared to
No.
90,000 people. But just to have some sort of normalcy in the
Yeah.
in the football field, you know, is something.
It's great, yeah, to like at least have some sort of like little bit of normalcy for wrestling to come back. It's really cool to see it getting to get to that level.
I'm excited for WrestleMania. I never been really like head over heels excited for a WrestleMania since like I think I don't know 2015, 20 around there. You know, WrestleMania hasn't really been the same since. What are your thoughts about going into WrestleMania this year? Have you been like keeping up with it?
So I haven't too much, so I don't really know all the matches that are going on. But I am excited back. I know there's been a lot of talks between our training group when they go to WrestleMania for Dallas that we all get a group together to go for that. So
Nice.
that would be exciting. Even though I don't really keep up with the product as much, it would be super awesome to get to go see a WrestleMania. So I'm very much so a part of that train, thinking a WrestleMania would be awesome to see no matter who's wrestling.
Who's
So,
there? Who's there? Yeah, it's WrestleMania.
yeah.
I'm there. I always said to myself, and I always said to my friend, I said, if I ever go to WrestleMania, I gotta sit. I'm gonna go all out if I ever go to WrestleMania. I'm spending all the
Yes.
money. I'm gonna sit in the best seat because I'm as close as I can get. Exactly. I'm not claustrophobic, but I don't like sitting in a small space for a long period of time. Like, if I'm sitting and I'm squished between two people for like 8 hours, I'm going to be miserable. I said I'm going to miss like at least 75-80% of the show because I'm going to be walking around the whole time. Because I just can't sit down the whole time. I get very, very uncomfortable. That's just me. But like I said, if I ever go to WrestleMania, I'm spending everything. I'm gonna spend probably like $5,000 on everything just for WrestleMania alone, which is probably nothing compared to people what they normally spend. I think people spent like 10 G's on WrestleMania, which is nuts, which is absolutely crazy. You know, kudos to you guys. Y'all are the real MVP. But enough about me. Enough about that. Tell us more about Stormy Renee and how Stormy Renee became Stormy Renee.
Well, it kind of started back when I think I was about 16 is when I first really got into like the independent wrestling scene. And so it was mainly because of my boyfriend running shows that they were here in Kansas. I got to go to the shows, and sometimes before shows I'd get to get in the ring, and I learned kind of like taking bumps and everything. And then it wasn't until I think I hit 17 and, my trainer, Billy Simmons, took over XWE and took over the XWE school that I actually got to get in the ring, like full time with a full wrestling schedule, training 3 times a week, which was really fun. And so that's when I really kind of started learning all the moves and everything that I wanted to do. And then it was 2018 that we really picked up in the school and started getting closer to figuring out when I could debut, which led to 2019, where I debuted in Salina, Kansas, with my gimmick and everything, with the purple pink outfit. Really, it's a bubbly personality. Stormy likes to fight for good. I take a little bit of everybody. I take a lot of inspiration from people who I've met, like in my wrestling scene. Like, they're a lot of my inspiration of what keeps me fighting and going. My gimmick has come from a lot of people helping me to like put it together. Don't get me wrong. I think of a lot of my own moves, but there's been a lot of people who have seen some great things that I could do to help make me better that I've put into my work. There's this guy, Creel, who I call him my vet because he's always there to help train me. He helps train our wrestling class all the time. He's the reason why I've done 700 squats in a training session at one time. Very miserable. But when you have Creel like in your ear screaming, "Are you gonna quit before the boys quit?" You don't quit. You're like, "No, I can't." Like, and you just keep squatting. Yep, whatever you say, sir. Like, you just keep going. And so yeah, I'm a mix of a lot of different people. My new thing that I'm kind of going to, it's not really different from how I feel now with Stormy Renee. It's just kind of more amped up, I feel. I'm taking a big grasp from the anime Sailor Moon in Usagi Tsukino because I really feel like I'm like her. Usagi will kick your butt with the love of her friends by her side, but she is a big crybaby and she likes to nap and she likes food, and that is 100% me. If you're mean, I'll beat you up, but like, I can also cry and eat with the best of them, and I love to sleep.
I love that.
Yeah.
How long, so you said you started training around, you know, like 16, 17, and how long did that
take? It was very kind of on and off.
Okay. And how long did it take you to train and get debuted for the first time?
So I think total training time that like I can actually say that I was in full training before I hit the debut would be, I think, exactly 2018 to June, I think it was, of 2018 is when we started our first class, and it was a very small class. If I remember right, there was like maybe 7 of us.
Wow.
Me, Megan, John, Maria, yeah, a kid named Shamar, and then some people that aren't even there anymore because they didn't stick with it. We've slowly added to our class and our training group. We've got another great group of kids that have joined us, and Nick and Mitch, and then we have our dude Marco. And so We've really grown in our class. Right now, we haven't been able to do anything because of COVID, and our venue got shut down. Oof. And that's where we had our ring for training. But hopefully in April, we get one up so we can get back to training. But yeah, it was 2018 to not even a full year that I spent in training before I got to have like my first actual match on April 27th of 2019. But I still continued training after that. It was just, we don't have a lot of women wrestlers in Kansas, which really sucks. So he needed his females to be ready. So he put us on out there and we just continued training after. So yeah, not even a full year. I think June, July, October, November, December, January, February, March. I think 9 months total I spent training before I actually got to debut. I still train a lot. I'm not officially, like, I think a lot of us can agree you're never really done training in the wrestling business. If you think you know it all, you really don't.
Right.
No, exactly. You definitely do not. My trainer now even tells me all the time, like, we'll go to seminars and he'll tell me he's learned something new from some of these seminars himself. And so, like, and he's been in this business 20 plus years now. And like he tells me he's constantly learning new things as well.
Right. And so you said 9 months it took you to train, which isn't that bad. You know, I talk to a lot of wrestlers and I always heard 6 months, 9 months, you know, a year and a half, you know, 14 months. It's not going to take you a month to pick up everything because that's absolutely impossible.
It takes you a month to learn how to bump, right?
Right, exactly. If that, you know, it takes you like not to fall on your ass, like, you know, take a back bump. You got to fall straight in your back. You fall on your ass, you got to do it again.
Oh, gosh.
What was after you took your first bump? A lot of wrestlers always say, after I took my first bump, they're like, this is where I want to be. This is where I belong. What was your mindset after taking your first back bump, running the ropes, doing your first roll?
It was ow.
Yeah, of course.
It was a lot of ow, but it was also like, because when I started taking like my first bumps and back rolls, I think it was when I was 17 and I first came to these indie shows, and it was just really surreal. Because getting told all the time, like, you will never do this. This is not a dream you can actually do, by a lot of my peers and teachers. It, like, taking that first bump and, like, even though it hurt really bad, it was like, holy cow, this is an actual thing that I am doing now. And then, like, learning to run the ropes. There's a lot of frustration with the first ones because I had a lot of really good wrestlers around me critiquing me. So there is a lot of frustration in the first couple of ones because you want to just feel like you can do it right away, but you can't.
You can't.
But overall, a lot of pride in myself that I was making it happen and become real and being like, haha, I proved you wrong.
you're not going to pick it up the first time. Like, you're like running the ropes. No. Running the ropes seems easy, but it's not. It's awkward. Like, oh, run the ropes. Okay.
You have to have a lot of trust in your ring too. You have to trust in the ring. Cause when you just throw yourself on the ropes, you have to put all your love and your trust that the ropes are just going to push you on to the next one.
And you hope they don't fall off. Because a lot of rings do.
Or snap.
Oh my God. Has that ever happened to you, or has that ever happened to anybody you know?
So we have never had like our rope snap or anything. I know one show that was close to the area one time had their bottom rope kind of fall off during their show, I think, or maybe it was one of their ropes, but that's the only thing like close that I've seen. I've only seen videos of them snapping and people go falling. So luckily the closest one was here in Kansas one time and nobody got hurt. It wasn't big of a deal. Like theirs had just come off and that was it. So that was the closest incident to me I've had that I can talk about, which I'm very glad I can say that.
Yeah. I never seen it, and I've been to a lot of wrestling shows. I never seen, you know, the ropes break or the ropes snap. You know, I've seen, you know, people, you know, get hurt, but nothing to like that extent where, like, you know, the ropes broke, because that must be pretty scary, you know, to be in that
I
ring and
bet.
just to throw yourself at the ropes and just have them fall, you know, like, oh shit, wait, God, that's not supposed to
Where
happen.
am I going?
Oh no, that's not supposed to happen. You know, it seems like you got seems like you got introduced to independent wrestling at a very early age. You were 16. I was 18 when I discovered independent wrestling. After discovering independent wrestling for the first time, who were some wrestlers that you were attracted to that you just like were instantly hooked to?
So when I first actually started, like, was dived into the world of wrestling, not independent wrestling, was when I was like 5 or 6. My family loved watching it, so
Wow.
at that young age, that was the era of Stone Cold and The Rock and Shawn Michaels, and
Yep.
so I really loved Shawn Michaels and The Rock, and so did my aunt. And my aunt will constantly tell me about how she has gotten to see Stone Cold back when he was his stunning Stone Cold Steve Austin stage.
I'm trying to think how old you were at that time. You said like The Rock and Austin and all that. Were you
Yes.
Even alive? Yeah, you were alive. Yeah, you were alive. You were like the
Yes.
three, like
Very
two or
young.
three. Yeah. Okay.
And so I got more into John Cena the older I got, because that you can't see me. His Thuganomics one was the best one, and I don't know, like, my dad loved it too. So, like, I think it was because I wanted to bond with my dad, and my dad loving John Cena, I was like, yeah, no, John Cena, he is the coolest thing ever, Dad. You are right. But when I got into the independents and watching, I really loved. So when I saw him, he was Dean Ambrose first.
John Moxley.
And so watching Dean Ambrose, I got into the Jon Moxley, and so I got into CZW, and so that was a wrestler I really liked watching when I was younger. And then I loved Seth Rollins as well. And then when Bayley came out, I have adored Bayley ever since I have seen who Bayley is.
I love Bailey.
Yes.
Before we talk a little more about Bailey, I want to go back while we were talking about John Cena. A lot of people hate on John Cena now. The people who hate him now were fans back in the day because they didn't have the knowledge of wrestling that they have now. So I'm not saying they were idiots back then, but I'm saying someone like me, 26-year-old, did not know anything about the business, didn't know what a heel was, didn't know what a face was, didn't know any of the moves. I know way more now, of course, than I did when I was 11. If I had the mindset when I was 11, I'd be like the most annoying wrestling fan ever in my school, like just talking about like the business aspect of it and why so and so doesn't deserve a chance and why they deserve a chance, this and that. But at 11 years old, I started watching wrestling in 06, and John Cena was the first one I was instantly hooked to. He was the face of the face of the company. He was the good guy. He was beating all the, you know, he was beating all our enemies, all the rivals, Edge, Umaga, Chris Masters, Johnny Nitro. You know, the list goes on and on. It's like for the kids nowadays, Roman Reigns. He was a face. Everyone loved Roman Reigns, but guess what? Now all the kids hate him because he's a bad guy, and I absolutely love what he's doing. But anyways, tangent over with that. Bailey's I love Bailey. Bailey's great. Her NXT back in NXT, her and Sasha always killed it.
Those are some of my favorite matches
I
that
mean,
they have had together.
who doesn't like them? I mean, in my opinion,
Liars.
exactly. In my opinion, Sasha and Bailey at NXT TakeOver 2015 in August in Brooklyn is the
Yes.
best women's wrestling match of all time till this day, and I will argue with anybody on that. No women's
Yes, I
match has
love.
even come close to that.
It's so good, like the work that they both put into that match. And like I'll always say, out of any WWE product, NXT is my favorite to watch, because you can tell they get a lot more freedom and what they can do. And like it's very obvious in the wrestling that they have
Right.
more freedom.
Triple H is a big independent wrestling fan, so that's why he, in my opinion at least, he gives his wrestlers a lot more leeway, and they also don't have a crazy schedule like the main roster does, at least not
Right.
anymore. When WWE was, you know, doing their thing back before COVID, WWE was traveling. They were, you know, rest on the road every single night, when NXT was just doing their shows every Wednesday, every Thursday in Florida, and then a pay-per-view once, maybe twice a month. So that's right. Why they were able to do, you know, Canadian destroyers every night or something like that, or just, you know, have more leeway.
Where that is roster, a fun move.
You couldn't do shit. I love the Canadian destroyer. It is my favorite move of all time. My friend,
I have done
Mario
it once.
My friend Mario thinks it's the most unrealistic move of all time, and he thinks the Spanish fly is the most unrealistic move. Those are my two favorite moves. And the half Nelson. I love the half Nelson. The first time you took a Canadian, what was going through your mind?
I actually gave.
You gave Canadian. It?
Ooh. And it was a lot of, oh shit, hold on.
Right.
Because it was when I wrestled a dude. His name's Drake Gallows. It was my first time ever wrestling a dude, and he is kind of one of the more intense people to wrestle. And I don't know. Okay, at that point, I wasn't handcuffed, so he put handcuffs on himself. It was a good, nice free range of motion. But it was a lot of like, oh crap, we got this. And like, just don't let go.
I'd be terrified to take a Canadian or even give one, because
the backflip. No,
it takes a lot of trust to do a Canadian, because you're giving him a pile driver. Like,
yeah,
it's a pile driver. Like you're like, they're landing on their head. Like, so it must take a lot of trust for them, but for the other person doing it, it must also be scary, because you don't want to fuck up and you don't want to kill them.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of like, do exactly what you're supposed to do going on in your head in that moment.
Exactly. You know, like, I see like 11-year-old me would never know what a Canadian destroyer is, but what the hell is a Canadian?
Right.
Like, this was like six. I was talking to a wrestler named Killer Kate a couple weeks ago on my podcast, and I was like, oh, I like to move where, you know, both wrestlers are together and one does a front flip, another one does a back flip. And I, at the time, I had no idea what that was called. This was like 2017, 2016, and they're like, that would be the Spanish fly. I was like, oh, that's what it's called. I knew that. I knew that. No, I didn't. Now I know. But like 10, 5 years ago, I didn't know what those moves were called. I'm like, I just saw it and I just popped like instantly, because those are such a cool move. How long did it take you to really, as a fan, to really grasp the knowledge of that move is this move is that? That's what it's called.
Really not until I became a professional wrestler, and I really had to learn exactly right. What these were, because you need to be able to talk with other wrestlers. Unless you're this one girl I know, and she's kind of like, you know, this move, and you do this and that. Like, there's a girl I know, and I adore her. Like, sometimes if she doesn't remember the name, she'll just be like, you know, the move where you do this thing. And I'm like, what are you saying, Erica? I don't understand.
What? Come on, Erica.
She is so good, though. She's been doing this for so long. She's a bad bitch. Sorry, I gotta call her what she is. She does MMA as well. I adore any time I can wrestle her, because I just learn so much, even if sometimes it's not the right move name just yet until right. She remembers.
It seems like... It seems like you wrestle Brene a lot, because some of the matches I've seen you in where it's against Brene, I'm like, holy shit, how many times have you wrestled Brene? Like, fucking Christ.
Brene and I wrestled a lot. Nobody has smacked me with a chair more than Brene has smacked me with a chair.
So you must feel...
That's my favorite thing. She's gotten signed recently, so yeah, I get to say, like, Brene smacked me with chairs before she was famous.
That's awesome. It's always cool to see, like, these wrestlers get signed.
I'm so happy for her.
Rather you worked with them, rather you seen them wrestle in person, or rather just seeing them in passing in the backstage, because at one point you see them up close and personal. A lot of wrestlers up in Connecticut I've seen, you know, move on to WWE. The wrestler you see right there, Ricochet, I've seen him wrestle a few times in person. Kurt Angle, I've seen Keith Lee wrestle. I've seen this new guy that's on WWE, August Gray. He's on 205 Live. His name was Anthony Green in the Indies. So, you know, all these people who really paved their way in the independent scene and make their way to WWE is something not only special for them, but special for us as fans, because we've seen, like I said, we've seen a lot of these wrestlers go through the struggle, go through, you know, like selling their merch and, you know, just like wrestling in front of, you know, 30, 40 people in a bingo hall, to wrestling in front of, you know, when COVID ends, 20,000 people every week.
Right.
And so it's something very special for us as fans to see. So, and that's incredible.
I feel that with Cameron for sure. Like I said, we've wrestled so many matches together and I've learned so much from her, and like not only like being as wrestlers, but like I can call that girl one of my closest friends that I have in wrestling, and you don't really get to call, like it's a business, so you don't get to really have many close friends in wrestling, but Cameron is one that I can definitely put as a close person in this business. So I kind of got to be on the know of more than a lot of people of what she was doing before she actually got called up. Like I got to know when she was doing a tryout. I was one of the first ones to know when she was moving and when it was final. And like, she posts her new gear and I have just been elated for her in the, like what she's getting to do. And I can't wait. I don't watch the product much, but once she hits NXT, I am watching NXT for my girl constantly.
Was she one of the new signees that WWE just signed?
Yes.
Because they signed shit ton of people.
She was part of that new signee group, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I get to say I know Miranda Gordy.
Yep.
So that's one of the cool ones, too. And she is also, for having her name being her name, she is one of the most down-to-earth girls I have ever met. And like, she'll be honest with you, she still can get a lot better, and she is just straight up real with you constantly, and she never uses her name to get ahead. Like, she will talk to you about her dad though, if you're like, hey, what was he like and what is this, because she loves talking about her dad, but she will never use her last name to her advantage. She comes in, and she did it all on the independent. She started it on her own. WWE saw her and wanted her. It wasn't like she's like, hey, this is my last name. Like, she's been traveling. Yeah, she's done her fair share of traveling and getting her butt out there and doing stuff. And I absolutely adore Miranda as well. Like, there's some two cool females that I have gotten to meet.
But as like an independent wrestler, I feel like you should go through what all these other wrestlers went through, despite what your last name is.
Yes,
being an independent wrestler is. I'm not a wrestler. You're a wrestler. Maybe you could agree with this. It's both a curse and a blessing. Like, a blessing because you're not signed to a specific promotion. You could go wherever the hell you want. You could do what you want to do. You could try what you want to try. But a curse, just because it's hard to get your name out there. It's hard to take bookings, and it's hard to really, you know, grow a fan base. But like, here comes a blessing again. Once you do grow that fan base, once you do grow that your platform that you created for yourself in 2-3 years, it's all worth it in the long run.
It is, yeah. Like, it's because a lot of us work day jobs and also wrestling. So a lot of us work like Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday, and then all weekend we're out
wrestling,
traveling, going to shows. And like, some of these shows are far away. Like I said, I went to California a while back, and that was a 26-hour drive, just 26 and a half just there. And that was just for an opportunity to get my name out. And now, very fortunately, I should have the opportunity to next time go out to California and have a lot of my expenses paid for. Yeah. And like, it's a lot of hard work. I agree. Everybody should do this before you can really get somewhere, because you learn to appreciate it a lot more. These long car rides with your people just hanging out, talking and trying to keep each other sane. It's an experience, and it's one I would never trade for anything. I've loved it. There's been a lot of pains. There's a lot of time away from family, which is hard for me because I love my family. And so like, that's one of the harder things. There's a lot of no sleep. And like I said, I love my sleep. So I'm very fortunate to get around the group of people I have who can deal with cranky, sleepy Sydney and put her in her place when she's being too cranky. But yeah, like, it's just a lot of traveling, and you go to work so you can make your bills at home. Yeah. And then you got to squeeze in going to the gym, studying wrestling. And then like, yeah. And then you try to get your merch made. And so like, you try to find the cheapest place to get shirts made. And then you try to make a profit from your merch so you can help profit wrestling.
Right.
And like, if you're not careful when you first start, it's really hard to see yourself kind of go into a sinking hole in expenses. But if you really play it right, like start saving some money from your paychecks from your day job to help with wrestling, like I kind of started, you'll finally see like a nice come up, which when you start seeing the come up come with money, you're like, this has all been worth it.
It's all been worth it.
But, and yeah.
I love that. And you were saying about, you know, like those long car rides and everything. You never know.
No.
Three of those six people, they could be main. You guys could be main eventing WrestleMania one day. You could be main eventing SummerSlam. So all that story that you guys had prior before that big match in WWE is all worth it in the long run, because
yes,
and especially for, like, you know, the hardcore independent wrestling fans who know who these wrestlers are, who've seen them struggle, who met them before, who knew what they were going through, and just to see them accomplish all that in the end is, there comes a blessing curse again. It's curse and a blessing. Just
yes,
wrestling is crazy. Wrestling is such a beautiful, beautiful thing for a lot of people, and I love wrestling to death. I love it so much. It's crazy.
It's, you know, it's so much fun, and yeah. Like, I will always accredit, like, when I look back, I'll never forget the people who have been here for me in the car rides and, like, my support system, because, like, I 100% will say if I haven't had the support system that I have, I would have given up a long time ago. This business is rough, and people tell me all the time I'm very sensitive, and I am a very sensitive person in a cutthroat business.
Too. It's okay.
I learned to roll with the punches, so having a great support system has really helped me, like my boyfriend, my friends, my trainer, for sure. Like, I can call that dude about anything. Like, I can be having the worst day ever, and I know I can get on the phone and call him, and he'll talk to me about whatever I need to talk about. And, like, my parents have been great about it, too. My dad loves that I'm a professional wrestler.
That's awesome.
He's the biggest dork ever. When I won my title, I sent him a picture first. I was like, look what I did. He's like, that is so awesome. I'm so proud. And then he sends me another text right after. He's like, you better post it or I'm going to post it first. Right.
Exactly.
And like, he has come out to shows to surprise me. And like, I remember one time when he surprised me, I literally started crying because it was so cool. My dad got to finally come watch me do this live.
That, like, and it seems like you have like such a great support from your family and friends.
Do.
I love that, and I love your dad already. He sounds great. You know, shout out to your dad for that, because that's incredible. You need that. It must take a lot of weight off your shoulders too to know, like, at least I got my family support. Like,
if
I'm gonna quit, and you're thinking about quitting, and you tell your mom or dad, I feel like they're gonna talk you out of it. Go, no, you're not.
Yeah,
you got
my
this.
Dad. Like, it's like great, because also my job is super supportive too. Like, I had the opportunity to go to North Carolina yesterday. It ended up getting canceled, but like, I had told my boss like Thursday, I can't even ask you because I don't even have a 24-hour notice. And she's like, I don't care if you need the day off, take the day off. We can handle it here. I'm like, but that's barely any time. And she's like, no, like, go do what you're passionate about. We can handle it here. Just get us tickets when you make it famous. I'm like, oh yeah, no, you guys are getting free tickets. It's already, I won't forget about you.
That's like one thing, like, you know, now do your thing, go do your thing. Just when, like, you're main eventing WrestleMania, I want some ringside seats.
I can say I'm a very fortunate person in the support system that I have with my wrestling and just life in general. So if you ever want to be a wrestler, make sure you have that support system, because I'm telling you, it's been there for me when I've needed it. They're what gave me the kick to get back into it when I was down in the dumps. I remember when I started thinking about getting back into wrestling, my wrestler texts my trainer. He texts me. He's like, I'm going to this show. You should come with me and get some training in before it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. He's like, you have no idea how happy that made me that you were just immediately like, yeah, I'll come. And I was like, if any other person would have messaged me in that moment, I probably would have been like trying to sink again, but it was him. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You've been here pushing me this whole time, and I'll be damned if I let you down. I'll go.
I love that. Like, and But no, that's great. That your trainer sounds awesome. Your family sounds absolutely amazing. Before we end the podcast, I want to ask you one more question. There's so much wrestling in the world right now, especially in the indies. Independent wrestling has taken off. Where do you see yourself in 5 years or after this whole COVID is over?
Well, not to brag or anything, but at one show, I had Shannon Moore tell me to my face, if I just stick with it, WWE or any of these other companies would love to have me. So I feel like if I stick with it and I get my new gear and I work my butt off, like I feel like I can. I think soon in the next 5 years, you could see me on AEW or WWE possibly. So that is my goal.
When you do get signed, I'll be waiting for some tickets.
Hey, you, first podcast person I've been on, you have to, yes.
Of course, exactly. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Stormy, thank you so much for joining the show today. This has been a lot of fun. I'm glad that I was finally able to make this happen because I know I asked you. I think I asked you last year if you were down. You're like, no, sorry.
Let me look at my dates. And like I said, I'm the worst at responding to people. Ask a lot of bookers. And then when you were like, hey, can we do it this time? I immediately went to my calendar and I was like, I've got to give them a date this time. Right. I can't.
But I'm really glad we're able to make this happen.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Of course. I definitely got to have you on again in the near future. But
yes.
Until then, drop those plugs one last time. Where can those nerds find you?
On my Instagram, you can follow me at real_Stormy_Renee. And then on Facebook, I'm just at Stormy Renee. And then stay tuned and I'll give you more social media.
She's gonna make a Twitter soon. I'm gonna beg her to keep making one. So just be prepared, guys. All right. This has been an episode of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by Nerds of Wrestling. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.
Bye.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You ever been to camp? Look at you. Of course you haven't. You're a wrestling fan. But Killian McMurphy and Big Dust are here to let you in on a little secret. You can go to Camp Leapfrog on IWTV. You looking for wrestling that's fun? Wrestling that's different? Wrestling that everyone's gonna love? Or are you just looking for Killian McMurphy to beat the snot out of some geek? That's Camp Leapfrog on IWTV. Tune in now, nerds.
And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.